The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Staples Center is not far from Hollywood, but the NBA announcing LeBron James and Kyle Kuzma both are receiving warnings for their theatrics violating the NBA's anti-flopping rule in the Lakers' win over the Grizzlies on Friday. Now, James and Kuzma, just the sixth and seventh players to be given warnings and be reprimanded by the league this season. And of course, we all know this is not the first time we have heard LeBron James and flopping used in the same sentence. So, Max, I ask you, is it fair to label LeBron as a flopper?
And I ask you, is this a trick question? Of course LeBron's a flopper. Of course he's a flopper. Yes, he is. And he was not the first star who tries to get calls. And it's not on the offense. Like, it's on the defensive end, too, of course. Like, Dennis Rodman or Draymond Green, guys who put a lot of effort into the defensive end, are they trying to get calls on the offensive player? Of course they are. Is James Harden trying to get calls on the defensive player? Of course he is. LeBron plays both ends of the floor. He's trying to get calls in both places. And partly it's because, of course, like Shaq in a way, you know, LeBron is often compared, I call him, you know, Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson had a baby. He has attributes of Jordan and Magic rolled into one. And he's compared to Jordan and Kobe as these great wing players. But in another way, to me, he belongs in a category with Wilt Chamberlain and Shaquille O'Neal. Unstoppable physical forces, right? And Shaq used to get hacked. And refs at times would look the other way because it's like, well, how they can't even play the game because what else are you going to do to this guy? And so LeBron has some of that going on too. He's so big, he's so fast, he's so great that contact is often made and sometimes he's not getting those calls. So he would like to get them, so he works the refs. Yes, he's a flopper. And by the way, the league is right. Also, you don't want Stephen A. to get into a situation like soccer because already, as we saw from the video, they're just phantom moves where nothing just happened and you're acting like a villain from the old Adam West Batman show, right? Pow, zam, but nothing's landing. The league does not want a situation like that. I know that competitive people are trying to sell calls. But to ask is LeBron a flopper is absurd. Of course he's a flopper. Of course he is.
Well, he is. So I don't have anything to add to that because I know that he is, as is a lot of guys in the league. What I would say to you is that's not where my focus lies when it gets to this subject. My focus lies to the NBA looking for other folks to do the officials' jobs instead of the officials themselves. I remember a few years, before he passed away. I'm talking about former Commissioner David Stern, Max, God rest his soul. I miss that man. He was crazy, but I miss him. And I tell you this, we were having a conversation and he was complaining in his office. He'd bring me into his office, had a Pepsi, Max, and we're sitting there in his office. He'd give me my Pepsi. He kicks up his feet. He's like, I'm just tired of it. I'm disgusted with it. I mean, all of this acting, these histrionics. I mean, why don't they go to Hollywood for crying out loud? Go to Tinseltown. It's ridiculous. It's not the NBA. I'm sick of it. And I said, yeah, but it's the NBA's officials' job to catch them. Of sure, if you get in here, you might, something like, for example, if you LeBron James and you 260 pounds, you're a locomotive coming at a whole bunch of people, you know what? A slap on the arm or whatever the case may not affect you. So what you got to do is you got to sell it, you know, because it might have had something to do with you hitting the shot. Or if you see guys working and they're manipulating it effectively, what are you going to do? Vlade Divac used to frustrate the hell out of Shaq because Shaq called, you know, that's why Shaq once called them the Sacramento Queens, you know, instead of the Sacramento Kings, because he got tired of Vlade Divac flopping all the damn time. But here's the deal. How the hell are you going to guard Shaq? When Shaq drops, step and swing that elbow at 320 pounds, 7-1, what you gonna do? You know, so it's like you had to try something. What I'm saying is that if you're competing and you're trying to win, it's the official's job to catch you while you flopping. It's not your job to help them by not flopping. I mean, so when we sit up there and we talk about LeBron James, yeah, you 260, and yeah, you could do a lot of different things. But in the same breath, you want to highlight how you're getting slapped and smacked and pushed and all of this other stuff. And just because you're bigger and stronger than most doesn't mean that you should be subjected to it excessively more so than anybody else. So if guys are getting away with flopping, you're returning the favor. Like, hell, I know how to do that too. All right? Catch me if you can. I don't see a problem with it. I really don't.
First of all, I want to point out, I'm going to argue against it, but I want to point out, that's a great point. This is a debate show, but that's an excellent point. What it reminds me of is our credit card companies, when they think they detect fraud and they'll freeze a credit card, and now you're responsible for proving, no, it's not fraud. In fact, I'm traveling or something like that. In other words, what they've done is farm out their work to you. You're now working for the credit card company because those purchases would be insured if it was fraud, right?
Yeah. That's a good example.
I get that. And that's kind of bogus. Hey, you know what? Refs do your jobs. Stephen A., the refs have a lot on their plate. And these are very competitive people who are looking to milk, to juice every call, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it reminds me of even offensive players like James Harden, who the rule is there so that there's not contact. James Harden manipulates the rule to draw contact and then gets the foul and goes to the line. And to me, there should be rules in place against that, right? Because that's not the product you want. The foul calls are there so you get a clean game, not so the offensive players can manipulate it and then work it to their advantage, like a hitter in baseball working the count
to
try to get
on
base.
Max, that were exceptional floppers.
No, by the Hall of Famers who draw a lot of walks in baseball, and I don't love that rule. The rule in baseball is there to get the pitcher to throw strikes so you can see some action. So I get it. I understand what the league is saying because they don't want a product where rules are being manipulated in order to achieve a result.
But wait a minute. Here's my response to that. First of all, let's not forget. I mean, Gary Trent Jr., who I like, by the way, I like a lot. I love what he's doing on Portland. One of the all-time flops 2 weeks ago. Literally dove like he was Superman. I mean, this mother, one of the worst, unbelievable. It's like, excuse me, technology. I mean, we catch it. We see you faking it. Whatever. But with all the instant replay, with all the going back to the videotape, with all the delays that they force in the game, guess what? You can always institute a rule if we go to the cameras and you know what, you too excessive with this flopping. We can accord you an additional foul. We can do something, or we can take away a timeout. We can do something that make it hurts the team if it's too flagrant. You can do that.
Yeah.
There are rules that you can implement to dissuade certain things. You can do that.
What wasn't LeBron's too flagrant? Wasn't that a phantom nonsense? Right. Yeah. It gets to a point where the commissioner's got to say, come on, guys. Come on. Let's play ball here.
The theatrics really are just straight up ridiculous. Guys, here's what I think. I think we got All-Star Weekend coming up in just a few weeks. Let's take it a step further. Let's let the guys show off what they've got. Let's have a flopping contest. I don't know.
Max,
might be a place to show off
Max,
your skills.
Not a bad
Max,
idea.
Max, call your man Nick Khan and tell him to create something for WWE. A couple
also
of those brothers are big
idea.
Enough to be in the squared circle.
Oh.
Let him show up at the WWE and do some stuff. I mean, please.
Think,
and tell him to consult Ric Flair. They got
to
consult the Nature Boy.
No Woo. Doubt. Friend of
you
the gotta show.
You got to consult the Nature
Always
Boy.
Always got to consult the Nature
okay?
Boy.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
All right, it was Dame time last night. Damian Lillard does it yet again. He hit a tie-breaking three-pointer in the final seconds of the game, holding off the Mavericks, giving the Trailblazers the win. Now, this is nothing new. Damian Lillard is a stud. Last night, he had 34 points and 11 assists. His Blazers are fifth in the West. Stephen A., what did this say about Damian Lillard?
What it says is that we owe him an apology. And the number one person on that list would be me. I am a huge fan of Damian Lillard. Dame time, I believe in it. I always have. And being that, you know, I'm NBA reporters, there's a lot of great guys out there that do a great job. My brothers, the David Aldridges of the world, the people like that, the Lasekou Smith, God rest his wonderful soul. You know, all the guys, the Sam Mitchells. I mean, you see so many different reporters, different analysts, Isaiah Thomases of the world and others. And, you know, Adrian Wojnarowski, the ultimate insider covering the sport for us the way that he does. You know, just all of my boys, Vincent and the crew, everybody that we all cover. The NBA, Chris Haynes and others, we had Marcus Spears, love all of them. We all know how great Damian Lillard is. We just don't talk about it enough. And we don't talk about it so much that we have taken this man for granted. And as a result, we find ourselves in a situation where it's LeBron, it's Joel Embiid, it's even Steph Curry that's in the conversation now, et cetera, et cetera. But we lose our way, and I'm going to put myself at the top of the list, blaming myself. All of those great reporters that I mentioned and those great analysts that I mentioned, I'm putting myself at the top of the list because I have this platform. I have First Take 2 hours every day, and I got Stephen A's World, and I got NBA with Stephen A and all of this other stuff. And I haven't talked about Damian Lillard enough. Number one in the NBA since 2012 with clutch points. Clutch points. Last 5 seconds of the game. Don't get me started with the last 5 minutes. Don't get me started with Dame time. Don't get me started with him averaging 29 and how he's been doing that for the last 3, 4, 5 years. All right? And he's got Portland fifth in the West, and there's no C.J. McCollum who's missed game. No Nurse, no Jokic. It doesn't matter. I don't even know who the hell is. Doesn't matter. This brother, Damian Lillard, tell me, and it's a rhetorical question, but I challenge anybody out there to tell me who strikes more fear in you when crunch time arrives than the ball being in his hands. I've called Steph Curry the greatest shooter God ever created. Let me tell you something. Steph Curry ain't been Damian Lillard when it comes crunch time. When it comes down to clutch points. This brother is just on another level. And on behalf of all the great NBA reporters, all the great aficionados, all the great analysts, on behalf of everyone, I will put myself at the top of the list. I apologize. It's my fault. Because this brother, Damian Lillard, has been ignored for far too long. He is the real deal. And he does it time and time and time again, and we don't talk about him enough. Well, it's going to stop today. He's on that damn MVP list. He's on that MVP list right now. And I will not make that mistake again. I apologize. It's my fault. We're going to talk about this man moving ahead, because what he's doing and what he has been doing is ridiculous. And oh, by the way, he signed a contract, Max Kellerman, for $250 million. And still doing it. And we still ignored him. Highest paid due. It's
also
ridiculous.
Rhyme, by the way. Damian Lillard can rhyme. look, Damian Lillard is revered in the basketball world. There's a cult of people in the NBA who revere Damian Lillard. The people who cover him. The fans. Everyone knows he's probably the most clutch player in the game.
Take it for granted. But we don't talk about it enough.
I can't sit here. You may feel like you need to apologize. We don't talk about him as much as some of the other guys.
That's what I'm saying.
But there is good reason for that. One, he has not made a lot of deep playoff runs. Those are the people who get talked about. The more deep playoff runs you make, the more of a national figure you are. Two, he's up in the Pacific Northwest. It's not exactly a media hub compared to L.A. or New York or a sexy destination like Miami or something like that. And three, Stephen A., he is in the MVP conversation in the sense that the preseason favorite, Luka Doncic, right? He was my favorite a lot. I think he was slightly favored to win the whole thing before MVP, before the season started. And Luka's right now ranked about 10th. He was dueling with Lillard last night. Lillard got the best of it, right? Lillard hit the go-ahead shot. Doncic missed the game, the shot that would have done, that would have saved his team. And yet, most people have Damian Lillard ahead of Luka right now in the MVP race. You know, the reason he's not talked about even more is if I said to you, is he top two MVP? No, it's LeBron or Embiid right now. You know, if you want to bring up someone else, it's KD, maybe Jokic after that. You know, you can get to some, is it Steph or Lillard? In other words, it's kind of like the All-Star game thing. Well, oh, that guy was snubbed. Well, if he's snubbed, you got to tell me who should be off the team to put him on. Damian Lillard is a top 10 player. I think everyone agrees with that. Damian Lillard is in the MVP conversation, but not one of the two guys right now who we believe is going to win
it.
Damian Lillard is a great player, but we're not taking his team to win the championship. That's why he's not talked about more.
Max, Russell Westbrook won the MVP. What were they, the sixth seed? I know he averaged a triple-double, but they were the sixth seed. And let's face reality, got mad respect for Russell Westbrook. He ain't never been this dude. Russell Westbrook's the most athletic point guard in NBA history. But in terms of running a team, being a leader, and being the shot maker, he ain't never been Damian Lillard. We talk about him more. Steph Curry
is in the
league.
I don't know about that. I don't know that Westbrook at his best. Lillard's better than Westbrook at his best.
The only time we've talked about Damian Lillard was when he was in a bubble or when he got into the rap battle with Shaq. That's it.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And now it is time for the latest in our quarterback continued series. That's My Quarterback. And here to join us and, of course, help keep the guys in line, we've got my podcast partner, Kimberly Martin. Also, Chinee Ogumike joining us on First Take. Her take Kimberly. Every Wednesday, new episodes dropping. So, Max, Stephen A., I hope that you're tuning in along with everybody else. But guys, look, we have a couple different teams we got to get to. Here's how it's going to work. We're going to recognize some of the teams in the league that have some uncertainty under center and then predict who is going to be their week one starter this coming season. So let's start with the AFC and the Patriots. Okay, so last offseason, the Patriots signed Cam Newton to a one-year prove-it deal. Cam went 7-8 as the starter, throwing only 8 touchdowns with 10 picks. The question, will it be one and done for Cam in New England? So Stephen A. Smith, fill in the blank. The Pats week one starter next season will be?
Well, first of all, before I answer that question, let me just say I'm not only tuning in, I'm waiting for my invite from the ladies. I mean, damn, the ladies haven't called me to come on the show. I mean, it would have been nice to get an invite from y'all, but we'll talk about that another day, okay? We'll talk about that another
day. There's always an invite for you, Stephen A.
I feel you, Charlie. We'll see, Charlie. We'll see. Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you that I don't think it's one and done because I'm trying to figure out what assets the New England Patriots have available to get the quarterback that they need. And I'm combining that with the lack of suitors that's going to be out there for Cam Newton. Through 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, if I remember correctly, and wasn't really that impressive as far as I'm concerned. This was not a good season for him. We know COVID played a significant role. We know 8 to 9 different individuals started off the season by not even showing up for the New England Patriots because of COVID. So that's certainly not casting any aspersions on Bill Belichick, the coach. The GM might be another matter, but not the coach. But I'm just looking at it from the standpoint, when I look at the New England Patriots right now, I saw Bill Belichick displaying a level of understanding, of patience, and empathy towards a player that I had never witnessed, through the eyes. I never saw that from Bill Belichick before. And so when I saw that with Cam Newton, as Cam Newton sat on the bench, as Bill Belichick elected to bench him and things of that nature, I just saw a level of understanding and patience. I saw him being more complimentary than I'm accustomed to hearing Bill Belichick spew about players. And I think that he actually wants to give Cam Newton a second go round at all of this. I could be wrong because I'm not reporting on the team. I'm not in Boston. They are. But that's just the sense that I get. And it would not shock me if I ended up seeing Cam Newton back in New England next season. I don't think it's the right move because I think Cam Newton needs weapons and he don't have them in N'Keal Harry and others. But I do think that Bill Belichick is inclined to keep him on board for some reason.
I think there's reason to believe that, Stephen A., because the Patriots won 7 games without a lot of weapons, with a lot of defections off the defense as a result of COVID before the season ever started, and probably less on offense than even Brady had the year before. And then Cam, off a catastrophic injury, new system, in that situation I just mentioned, himself had COVID. And I think it affected his performances. He even talked about the COVID kind of fog after that. Missed games, the practice facilities were shut down. You need to practice with new teammates, you couldn't do it. Won 7 games, but also beat a whole bunch of really good teams last year. And quarterback stats, it's just like a way of measuring a means to an end. Even if your stats don't look great, if you're getting the wins and the coach feels you're competitive and all that, okay, I get why you would say that. But I believe Jimmy G is going to be available. I think Bill Belichick values Jimmy Garoppolo. I think this Brady-Belichick thing is not over, although Brady is in a big lead right now. And I think that Garoppolo, when you consider the money, it's not what the premier quarterbacks make. It was really more of an upper-middle-class contract than elite kind of contract. And Garoppolo does the thing that Belichick really likes from his quarterback. He gets the ball out quickly, makes quick reads, gets the ball out quickly. I think there's a very good chance, if I had to guess, that Jimmy G is the Patriots starter this year.
Okay. So between these two options, if I had to choose between Cam or Jimmy G, I'm going to go with Cam because he's cheap and he had a bad year last year. And he's going to come into 2021 looking to prove, like, I can actually play in this league. However, I think both of these choices are a little short-sighted. Why would Jimmy G be available? Why would the 49ers say, okay, we'll part with him if Deshaun Watson is available? You could see Deshaun going to the 49ers, right? So Jimmy G is expendable when compared to Deshaun Watson. I think the Patriots, at this point, they need to go all in. Like, they need to either find the guy in the draft, a young kid, and then pair him. Like, let's say you could get Cam on the cheap and you have a QB competition. Cam could be the week one guy while he's the bridge to the next guy. But Jimmy G, you know, oh, Belichick loves Jimmy G. I'm sure he does. We heard Belichick loves Jarrett Stidham. Oh, Tom Brady's not here anymore. It's going to be Jarrett Stidham's team. We're going to see Jarrett Stidham. We didn't see Jarrett Stidham. And now we're talking about who's going to be the QB of the future. And no one's talking about Jarrett Stidham. So I understand the connection to Jimmy G, but at this point, the window for Belichick, it is closing very quickly on this team. You need to go all in and find the guy that's going to change the franchise.
Well, he wanted that to be Jimmy G. That's the point. Stidham was just what was left over. He was going to hand the franchise to Jimmy G. Tom Brady had to do an end around and go to the owner to get that changed. So here it's a little bit different because he wanted to give it to Jimmy G. By the way, a guy who has his QB to interception ratio is like 2 to 1. His 1 to loss ratio is 3 to 1.
Well, Max.
And Stephen A., when he doesn't play, his teams never win. I think Belichick looks at that too.
You're making a case against yourself with that argument, because the more you hype Jimmy G, the harder it would be for New England to get him. What are the assets that you're willing to give up? You know, what are the assets that you have to give up if you're going to get Jimmy G in return? That's why I don't subscribe to that. Bill Belichick may have given them away for a second round pick. I assure you, San Francisco ain't going to do that. San Francisco definitely is going to get, yo, hell yeah, ain't giving them up for a second round pick. No, they ain't going to do that. Not to New England. That's number one. Number two, of course, Deshaun Watson is a significant upgrade. The problem with Houston is that, again, if you lose somebody the caliber of a Deshaun Watson and you see recent moves that have been made in the National Football League and what has been surrendered in the case of a Matthew Stafford and others and what assets were given up. Well, if you got those assets for players like that, what the hell are you going to get for Deshaun Watson? So Houston's asking themselves that question in terms of who's going to be willing to mortgage the farm in order to get Deshaun Watson. I'm thinking that New England doesn't have much to offer. And as a result of not having much to offer, you might be stuck in a situation where Cam Newton, for the immediate moment, is the best route for you to take. And that's all I'm saying in regards to that. We're not looking at it, all right, you know, where's the better place to land up or whatever. I'm talking about Cam Newton being somewhat stuck.
What?
Because there's so many questions about him. Mm-hmm. And New England being stuck because they don't have but so many assets to give up.
The Patriots can make Jimmy G work contractually. They can make it all fit. They can make it all fit. However, do you want to make it fit? You got, like, I understand Jimmy G was the guy that they didn't want to give away a couple years ago. But if the team that supposedly loves him doesn't, is fine saying, you know what, if we could get another player, we'll give up Jimmy G. Why is that the guy the Patriots should want? Well, the Patriots need an answer, need a answer that they can win with for the long term. I think all these guys are sort of these stopgap. And the reason I say Cam is because he's the cheapest option. You don't have to give up a lot to keep Cam. And that, to me, it's the financial aspect of the game.
What I would say is this. There's supposed to be a lot of quarterback movement this offseason. And let's assume Adam Schefter a week or two ago said 18 is the over-under, and he took the over. But even if that's not exactly the case, if things have changed, if half the teams or anything approaching half the teams have new quarterbacks, Shanahan had a lot of success with Matt Ryan. Who knows? Like, is Atlanta really in a position where they're about to make a run, or maybe it's time to move on? If they get Matt Ryan, Jimmy G becomes expendable. And even if he's not the dynamic quarterback we're seeing around the league, guys, again, he almost never loses when he starts for teams that almost never win when he doesn't. I think Belichick could be interested.
Okay. Well, a lot of expected movement, which is exactly why we're having these discussions right now. But we do have to move on to our next team. And I'm definitely keeping my fingers crossed for this one. I am an Indy girl, guys. So, look, Philip Rivers, he's out with the Colts. They must find someone to fill the major hole that the team has. Jacoby Brissett was the backup last season, a former starter in Indy as well. So, Max, tell me something good. The Colts week one starter will be...
Now, I just think there's a good chance it's Sam Darnold. It seems to me, when I hear the Jets are fielding a lot of calls about Darnold, look, if I'm the Jets, I'm probably going to move on. He's very young still. There's a chance he's a good quarterback going forward. But when you spend a draft pick as high as that, and it's been several years, and he's statistically the worst quarterback in football, I know weapons and a dysfunctional franchise and all that. Like, look what Baker Mayfield did when things got better. Maybe that could happen to Darnold. But if I'm the Jets, I want more of a sure thing. Or at least, you know, obviously you're going to be looking at Deshaun Watson if you could possibly swing that, even if I think Miami is actually better positioned to bring him in if they so choose. There are guys like, you know, people talking about Justin Fields in this draft not being the second or maybe even third quarterback taken. The Jets have all this draft capital. They could actually get even more flipping Sam Darnold, get even more trading down, still wind up with a quarterback who they may feel is going to be better in the long run than Sam Darnold and reset the rookie contract, right? So they get more years of control before they have to pay him. I just think Darnold is likely to be available. I think the Colts could be a fit.
Well, my hesitation about Sam Darnold is strictly because of contamination factor. You know, he was working under Adam Gase. And we all know how atrocious he was as a coach. He never should have been a head coach for the New York Jets to begin with. He showed up to the press conference, as far as I'm concerned, my personal opinion. He showed up as an introductory press conference. Ha! Okay, looking zooted out his damn mind, all right? And as far as I'm concerned, coached like it for the vast majority of his time in Gotham City, even though they were playing football games at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. So I definitely think that you don't touch Sam Darnold for the immediate moment, because we got to make sure that he's not contaminated and he won't infect anybody, okay? Because that's how bad it was playing for Adam Gase.
Got Jetsitis.
Had him said all of that, I happen to believe that Jacoby Brissett can play. I don't think he's a scrub. Now, last time we saw him was in 2019, even though he threw eight passes or whatever last season. We know it was Phillip Rivers' team. He gave him $25 million for 1 year. But the bottom line is this. Jacoby Brissett the year before, although it was a 7-8 record in the 15 games he played, threw for nearly 3,000 yards, 18 touchdowns, just 6 interceptions. Obviously can run with the football as well. He's got some motor. He's not a stationary target. And I don't think that Sam Darnold can be viewed as a significant upgrade to Jacoby Brissett at this particular moment in time. So because of that, it would not shock me at all if Indy ended up keeping Jacoby Brissett, giving him an opportunity now that he's been there in Indy with Frank Reich. Frank Reich knows the system, etc. He might have some confidence in him. I say give the brother a chance. Let Sam Darnold go somewhere else, but not there.
I'm going to introduce another guy. I'm going to say Carson Wentz. And Carson Wentz at Indy's price tag, not what the Eagles are trying to get, because the Eagles want everybody to believe that this is Carson Wentz from 2017. We know better. We have seen differently. But I felt like Carson Wentz was his best with Frank Reich. He flourished with Frank as his OC in Philly. Now, the numbers need to match up. The fact that the Bears, another team that has connections to Carson Wentz and some of his former coaches are there, and the Colts, these two teams have not made a deal yet, signals to me that the price has got to come down. I think Carson Wentz, I would rather have Carson Wentz than Sam Darnold. Stephen A. mentioned the contamination factor with Sam Darnold. The Colts are a team that had Phillip Rivers. Like, this was a team that was a QB away from being in the AFC title game. You felt like, oh, if they just get a really good quarterback, this team is money. They're going to go. They get Phillip Rivers. And it's still not quite right. It still doesn't work. So if I'm Indy, I'm going to say, you know what would work? Sam Darnold? No. So, and Jacoby Brissett has been there. I think the kid can play. Stephen, Kimberly, you think the kid can play?
Well, let me say this real quick before you go.
Go ahead.
You think Jacoby can play? I don't doubt that. The question is, what does the team think? Because the team brought in Phillip Rivers. You know what I mean?
They brought in Phillip Rivers. They didn't bring in Carson Wentz. Not the Carson Wentz with the season he just had. That's number one. Number two, I don't necessarily disagree with you about Carson Wentz, because I get your point, because I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, because he used to play with Frank under Frank Reich. He went down in his MVP caliber season and Nick Foles took over and they won the Super Bowl. I get all of that. But here's the flip side to it. Doesn't Jacoby Brissett doesn't Jalen Hurts remind you a little bit of Jacoby Brissett? Until he does to me. I mean, he can throw, but he ain't the most accurate throw in the world. He's certainly a good athlete. He's got some wheels on him, etc. And he took Carson Wentz's starting job really by default, because Carson Wentz was just god-awful. I'm just saying, when you look at it from that perspective, it's entirely plausible that, you know what, you might elect to go with Jacoby Brissett because he's going to keep the mistakes to a minimum. He may not be a game-breaker or a game-changer, but a better option than Carson Wentz? Maybe.
I think Kimberly's logic is sound. I think, Kimberly, your logic is very sound here. They're not. I mean, I thought it was ridiculous that they're asking for a first-round pick. To me, you should have to include draft capital to get out of that Carson Wentz deal. He was the worst quarterback in football this year, including Sam Darnold. And I'd rather have Sam Darnold in the locker room, right? So
I agree with that.
But this is the only reason I didn't say the Colts for Wentz, because I think your logic is very sound, including why it wouldn't be Brissett. The reason I would say that is because DeFilippo is in Chicago. And so that's, as you mentioned, part of the kind of coaching tree that was there when Carson Wentz was having success in Philadelphia. And when I look at Chicago, especially with that offensive line, I'm thinking
They're going to want a quarterback who can move around a little, who has some big play possibility in him. They're not going to want the price tag to be very high. So I see him as maybe more likely to wind up in Chicago than in Indianapolis.
It's Sam Darnold, though?
All right. Some definite possibilities here, guys. We'll see what happens in Max. You just mentioned Sam Darnold possibly going to the Colts, which means now the Jets have a quarterback situation of their own. So that's our last team we're going to be investigating today on That's My Quarterback. Sam Darnold's future with gangrene is really anything but certain. New York has been mentioned in the Deshaun Watson race and may have the best assets to acquire him. So Stephen A., the Jets' week one starter will be...
Right now, the way I'm looking at it is Sam Darnold. But let me say this for the record. If I'm the New York Jets and I have any opportunity whatsoever to get my hands on Deshaun Watson, I would give up 3 first-round picks. Mm-hmm. I would give up Sam Darnold. I would throw in a masseuse, a massage therapist, a car service into perpetuity.
Firstborn.
I'd slide his mama first a new house. You know what I'm saying? Or I'd make sure to give her access to the private jet so she could fly in on Sundays for games. Whatever the hell he wants, and I'd give it to him. I'd give it to him. Figure it out. If you're the New York Jets, you go all the way in because Deshaun Watson is a game changer. He's a showstopper. On top of it all, he's a model citizen who would be great for the New York market. And folks in Gotham City would rally around that brother in a heartbeat. And you wouldn't have to worry about the quarterback position for years to come. Got to buffer your offensive line. Make sure you protect this brother. Can't put him on suicide watch. But outside of that, you could build around this dude. You do whatever it takes. I just don't see them being able to do it. And as a result, I think they're going to be stuck with Sam Darnold. No. And that's where I'm at with it.
You know, I hear what you're saying, Stephen A. I actually think Miami is best positioned to get Deshaun Watson. Like, if they really want him, if I was Houston, I would think.
Management.
Because if Tua was in this draft, I would want him over everyone but Trevor Lawrence. So they have Tua there. If the Texans value Tua, they can give them Tua, start with Tua, and the number 3 pick in the draft. And if I'm Deshaun Watson, I want Miami because usually you go, if a team is drafting that high up, they stink. But Miami got the number 3 pick through a trade. So they're actually quite good and poised to be even better. I just think that the Dolphins, if they want Deshaun, are best situated to get him. So where does that leave the Jets? I understand why people would still have hope for Sam Darnold. I would move on were I the Jets. It wouldn't be an easy choice, but I would do it. And I think there's a guy in this draft whose stock has fallen because of a couple of games during a weird kind of college football season. But at one point, it really wasn't clear that it's Trevor Lawrence 1 and then everyone else 10, 11,
Justin
and 12.
Fields.
It was 1 and 1A. That was Justin Fields. And if I'm the Jets and I'm looking at this team, I'm not thinking we're about ready to win. I'm thinking we need a total rebuild. If I can move Sam Darnold and get some draft capital back, even if I don't get Deshaun Watson, if I can trade down from the number 2 spot and get stuff back, including all the other draft capital I have, I can walk away with Justin Fields and a million draft picks on top of the million draft picks I have? That's a rebuild. I think Fields has a chance to be the second most special quarterback in this draft. And there was a time not long ago where we were wondering out loud, could he be the most special? That's who I'd target if I were the Jets.
All I'm going to say is anybody but Sam Darnold. Because as somebody who's covered this Jets team, as a beat writer, as a national writer, I have watched quarterbacks come and go. And this organization just seems to completely gut careers. I don't know. They cannot develop QBs. So I'm with Max on getting a young QB, whether it's Zach Wilson, whether it's Justin Fields. For me, the key issue is for Robert Saleh, first-time head coach, for Joe Douglas, new to the GM spot, find the QB in this draft that you believe in and go all in and try to get him. Yes, is Deshaun Watson the better option? Of course he is. But does Deshaun Watson want to play for the Jets? I don't believe he does, because there are a lot of other situations that are a lot more further along than the Jets as far as being a winning franchise. So for the Jets, hit reset. I think Adam Gase, I think they ruined Sam for the fans too. Like, anytime this kid messes up, fans are like, get him out of here. I've seen enough. And I think Sam could use a reset. He needs to go somewhere where he can be in a good organization.
He needs
a good coach, and he just needs time to step back and not have to be the guy right away. Learn from somebody, right? So for the Jets, I think don't just pick, like, I've seen them take some crazy picks. Like, decide who you want, you believe in, because this QB spot, you will lose your job over who you pick. So whether it's Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, pick one of them and ride with it.
You got to have a quarterback with wheels. You just have to have that, because in today's game, unless you're Tom Brady or Drew Brees, you know what?
You
have got to be mobile to survive and prosper in the National Football League. You just have to. That's just a threat that you have to pose. And I get where you're coming from about the New York Jets. They're moribund. They're pathetic. We all understand that. Robert Saleh is definitely going to be an upgrade. But I got news for you. He might be the luckiest man in the world, because after Adam Gase, you ain't got nowhere to go but up. Ain't nowhere to go but. You can't be worse. So anything would do. Anything would be some kind of improvement. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. If it were Trevor Lawrence, you know who your quarterback is going to be. Even though I like Justin Fields a lot, I really, really do. And I've heard good things about Zach Wilson. The reality is that you can't draft one of those guys and automatically pencil them in as the starting quarterback for your franchise in year one without any kind of security blanket whatsoever. The Jets have too many problems, Kimberly, and so as a result of that, if they go that route, well, you know what, we're just going to draft a quarterback, and that's what we're going with, because we ain't going to get a shot at Deshaun Watson and stuff like that. The problem with that is that you're putting their careers on watch, because they're going to get ruined before they even started. Based on what you said, Kimberly, they have a history of not being able to develop quarterbacks, and all of a sudden, your first, you know, this guy comes in from day one, he's the starter? Hell no.
Guys,
if Sam Darnold's been sacrificed this much, keep sacrificing them.
The Jets
until
need
Justin
to
Fields or somebody's ready.
The Jets need to rebuild the whole damn thing. They got the Seahawks first round pick and their own pick this year and next year. The Seahawks in the third round too. Well, if you're not going to get Deshaun, what I'm saying is you could wind up with Justin Fields, and over the next 2 years, I don't know, five first round picks, three or four second round picks, three or four third round picks. You can rebuild the whole thing right now. Don't forget, Justin Fields has been compared to a higher ceilinged Dak Prescott.
All right. Well, that's definitely a good statement in his regard. All right, guys, we had a lot of disagreements today, but there have been a few agreements among Stephen A. and Max as far as this segment has gone. So far, they've agreed on the quarterback situation for three teams: the Texans, the Raiders, and the Steelers. Now, that's my quarterback. We'll continue tomorrow, but with the NFC. So the question is, who will be leading Washington's football team? Will it be the Jimmy G? And is the Jimmy G era over in the Bay? Find out tomorrow right here on First Take. Now we're going to finish off today's episode with Houston. Lots more problems going on there, because on Friday, three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year J.J. Watt announcing he and the Texans have mutually decided to part ways as the Texans released the 10-year veteran. Some big news there. Stephen A., where do you think that J.J. Watt should want to go?
Well, before I even answer that question,
where should he play,
before I even answer that question, let me say this. I love how the Houston Texans are holding on for dear life. Deshaun Watson, you ain't going nowhere. We ain't letting you go. But J.J. Watt sits up there and goes up, hey, I just want to go. It's time. And they're like, okay. I'm telling you right now, it's special. It really is special. But that's a subject for another day. Let me say this. The Pittsburgh Steelers. That's right. It's my team, Kimberly, but damn it, I'm going to say it anyway. Did you think I was going to let that slide? Now, I do understand. You know what I'm saying? Tom Brady, all right? Max, I'll leave that to you. Here's what I will say in response. Tom Brady ain't his brother, but TJ is. TJ Watt's his brother. That's a Watt right there. Derek Watt. You know, last time I saw him, he was a bit concussed. We wish him well and stuff like that when he had to get taken out of the game. But bottom line is, you know, that's a Watt.
So you got Derek Watt, you got T.J. Watt. I'm sorry, I mean the Watt brothers. Call them the Watt Steelers, okay? I don't give a damn what you do, all right? If you don't have a running game, okay, worst running attack in football. You got Big Ben, mistake prone as he is, but you can make up for that with an already elite defense, adding an elite pass rusher. You understand what I'm saying? To the mix. Could you imagine Watt coming from one end, T.J., another Watt coming from the other? T.J., J.J., go to Pittsburgh. Go to the Pittsburgh
Steelers. Now, here's the problem.
Upgrade
J.J. Watt is going to want to win he's going to want to win a Super Bowl. You ain't going to do that with Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh right now. Plus, T.J. is here, right? T.J. has an argument. He's the best in the business. So at least you could tell little brother, yeah, but I got the ring. And where is he going to go for a ring? Tampa, right? This is what happens when a guy like Tom Brady or LeBron James, wherever it is, sets up camp toward the end of their career, you would think with Brady, guys want to come and play with them. In Tampa, when you look at the free agent situation, usually after a Super Bowl, you're going to lose a lot of guys. When I look at Tampa, it looks to me like they can keep everybody. I don't see why they really have Levante David. Who do they want to keep? Leonard Fournette, it looks to me like they have the money to do it. And guys at the right times in their career where they'll be able to afford, if they franchise Evans or whatever, they'll be able to afford everyone. Would J.J. Watt go there? Does he really? Is he going to be looking for the biggest possible contract or the best situation? You add him to that defensive line? Whoa.
It's all about winning a championship, like Max said. And you go to a team that is pretty complete as a team or on defense, because J.J. Watt is not playing every snap, but he'll be third down situation. He could be that pass rusher that you need to make plays. So Green Bay, Tampa, any team that's complete, I see him going there. Steelers? Sorry, Stephen A.
I'm shocked that
you
say that.
Well, I would say that J.J. Watt deserves the championship at this point.
You're a wonderful family person, Kimberly. I'm shocked that you would sit up there and just shove aside the magnetic attraction of family, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't think Mama Watt would appreciate that. I saw
the
commercial
with
them answering to Mama.
Kimberly, what have you done?
What have you done?
Oh, no, I came in.
Pittsburgh, T.J. Pittsburgh.
So, Stephen A., of course you would say Pittsburgh. Come on now. You know he's not going to Pittsburgh. Guys, we got to go. See you tomorrow.